I want to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 34 to start. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 34. We're going to look at the subject tonight, God's purpose. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose that for our lives. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, writes these words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom did he foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, did he predestinate them, he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we see that God has a purpose. You know, the importance of this lesson, God's purpose, tears apart the idea that man can save himself. You and I cannot save ourselves apart from the help of God and his Son. God shows people are special to him in this life. Man's salvation is so insignificant on the earth. It's what he thinks. That's what man thinks. But it's all important to God in heaven how we live our lives. Because God has a real purpose for your life and for my life. What Paul wrote and what we just read in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, is written to and about believers or Christians. Now we see that God's purpose in our lives is to do his will, is to obey the commandments of God. We see Paul talked about God's purpose is for us to be willing to do as God directs us in our lives. In the first place, I want to look at God's purpose, his plan, his aim, and his design. God's purpose was foreknown and predestinated. When God made the heaven and the earth, he foreknew when the end of time would be. When he made the heaven and the earth, he foreknew what he was going to do, when he was going to send Jesus to live among men. And he knew this. And he had an aim. He had a plan for you and me. He has an aim for you and me. And he had a design for you and myself. So God then explained his purpose to us. And you'll find this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll look at verses 10 and 11. And let's look at what God's purpose is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll drop down and look at verses 10 and 11. Paul wrote, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation, the grace of God, which is given to me to you, how that by revelation is made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now let's drop down to 10 and 11. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now Paul says, he said, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, of the unmerited favor of God. He said he did this by revelation, but he said, he made known this mystery unto me. He said, you've read about this and you understand that my knowledge comes from the mystery of Christ. He says, other ages, this mystery was not made known to the sons of men. He said, now it's God chose his holy apostles and prophets to reveal this mystery, that the Gentiles can, as well as the Jews, can be fellow heirs in the church. And he says, in the same promise by Christ. He says, now, to the intent that the principalities and powers in heavenly places and where God lives might be made known to the church, the manifold or the broad wisdom of God. He says, this is his eternal purpose. What? Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is where Christ came in. This is where, if you'll read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, you have the first prophecy about Jesus Christ. And then we can see how God has now purposed, and how God purposed man in his plan of salvation. Because in Christ, we are God's elect. In Christ. We have to be in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He said, blessed be God and the Father. God's the Father of Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing that we need in heavenly places through Christ. And then, therefore, we're in Christ. We are God's elect. Then we're made like Christ. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Let's look at verse 29, which we just read. It said, to be conformed to the image of his son. What's the image or the likeness of his son? We're to be conformed after the pattern of Jesus. Jesus has given us this pattern in the New Testament. Therefore, we are to follow this pattern and be obedient to this pattern and make our lives after the likeness of Jesus Christ. So God's purpose for man was in Christ. His plan was in Christ. His aim for you and I tonight is in Christ. His design that we might be eternally saved was through Christ. So his son is the central figure of this, of his purpose. In the second place, let's look at God's call. God's purpose involves God's call to your life and to my life. Look at verse 30 of Romans 8. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, how did he predestinate us? Paul said, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out how God calls us. How God calls us. God does not call us through some supernatural or unusual event. Because if you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 39, on the day of Pentecost, Peter made a prediction on that occasion. He talked about the call of God. He talked about what would happen in the succeeding generations even. He had talked about, he just got through talking about Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and what Jesus did for those people on that occasion, how he gave Peter and the rest of the apostles the gospel. And Peter had just said in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 39, he says, not only for you, for this promise is unto you and to your children, to future generations, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's you and me. Those people that are far off are you and me tonight. And he says, this was done through the gospel. Not through some miraculous means, but through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that same apostle, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he not only gave the prediction that would happen, to God, how God would call people through the gospel, but he also gave us an analysis of God's call. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, but ye, Christians, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now you remember we had said at the outset of the lesson, that man's salvation is very important in heaven. Now, this is a reason, because Peter says that we are a chosen generation. We're part of this royal priesthood. We're priests. Christ is our high priest. We're part of this holy nation, the church. We're a peculiar people. We're not like out here in the world. He said, what do? We show forth the praises or the honor given to God, because he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light through his son. And we can see how Peter gives us the correct analysis of this. Now, let's look at Paul's proclamation of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, Paul talks about God's call, and he has a proclamation about it. He said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, all to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. He says that God's call is unto the church of God. He said in this particular instance is at Corinth. He said those people had been sanctified. They've been set apart for the work of God. He said they're called to be saints. And he said, not only there in Corinth, Paul said, but in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, but then what do we conclude here? We conclude the means of God's call. As we said at the outset, how we call? Well, we looked at Peter's prediction, said we're called by the gospel. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul gives us a simple explanation here of the means and the method of our call, or how God calls men to be saved. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Joe, it's not any miraculous means, it's the gospel, isn't it? The gospel. He says, after you called by the gospel, he said, by our gospel, by the gospel that Paul and the other apostles was preaching, he said, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we can obtain something better than this life. We can obtain eternal life by being obedient to this call and being committed to this call. Well, in the third place, another way of looking at God's purpose for your life and my life is the blessings of the purpose of God. God gives us blessings every day of our lives. God gives us numerous blessings. And we're going to look at a couple areas of these blessings of God's purpose And we're going to see how he uses these blessings in our lives. First of all, he uses blessings in our lives to justify us. To justify us. We're justified through the blessings of the purpose of God. Because God's plan, if you look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we see God had a plan, as we already noted. And that plan was through Jesus Christ. That plan was through His wisdom. But in Romans 3 and verse 24, Paul said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He said, well, this is how we're justified. We're justified freely, what? From sin, that we can be, by His grace or His unmerited favor, through the redemption or the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying. This is how we're justified in God's sight. We're also justified by our faith in the blood of Christ, in His sacrifice upon the Calvary's cross. We'll look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. We see that the apostle says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. It took the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus to justify us by the blood of Christ that we can be saved. That we can be saved from the wrath of God. Nobody in their right mind does not want to spend eternity in hell. Nobody. Because when we get to that point on judgment and you hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, and He assigns that soul to hell, then that person would be there forever. But God wanted us to be saved. He don't want us to incur His wrath at the end of time. He wants us to be saved. So He justified us by the blood of Christ. And then, who can charge God's elect then? Well, look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. This is a question that Paul raised. Who can charge God's elect? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Do people try to lay things at God's elect? Yes, they do today. God still justifies people who want to be obedient to the truth, but they have to make up their minds. Many will try to charge God's elect, because you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. We see Peter was talking about this issue. Many will try to charge God's elect. In 1 Peter 4, 3 and 4, he says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, when they think it strange that you were not with them, to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you. He said, here are these some people that used to do all these sins. He said, but they don't know them anymore. They're now Christians. They are wanting to do what God wants them to do. They're wanting to be justified by God. But he said, there are people still out here in the world that said, well, I can do what I want to, anytime I want to, how I want to. I don't care what God said, and I don't care what the Bible said. You can't tell me what to say and what to do. Well, what are they doing? They're charging God's elect, aren't they? They're diametrically opposed to God. The word reckon, it means to put down as fact. You reckon yourself. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul said, likewise reckon, or this is a fact, Paul is saying, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God for Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we have to make choices. Which part of us is going to be dead and which part of us is going to be alive? Paul says, you must put likewise reckon. You must make this choice. You need to say that you're dead to sin and alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says if you do that, then you will have the blessings that God has given you. Another area we can have blessings of, in God's purpose is by the process of being glorified. Being glorified. We're God's elect. And since we're God's elect, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peter said these Christians were elected. They were elected by God, for the foreknowledge of God, for the wisdom of God, for sanctification, or setting apart. They're wanting to have something better by obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, or by baptism. He says these people was on the right road, because we think about glorification and we think about position of honor and service in the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul would say, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, but above all that we ask or think, according to the purpose that worketh in us. God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And he's going to give us the ability, and he's going to give us the knowledge and the tools that we need to perform. And we even can do greater things for the Lord above all that we ask or even think that we can do. And he says that we can have position of honor and service. But give God the glory, though. Give God the glory. Our body can be glorified as we look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. It said, Philippians 3 and 17, we see that, excuse me, 3 and 21. It said, who shall change our vile body and be as fashioned to his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. He says, we have a better life coming. Eternal life. At that point, he'll change our physical body and fashion to a glorious body. And he said, therefore, we will be in honor with him at the end of time. And then we appear in glory with the Lord. Just to think. We appear in glory with the Lord in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Paul said, if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He said, this is what we are now. We're children of God. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him in this life, that we also be glorified together at the end of time. We can be glorified together. Each one of us can have this glory that's been promised to you, to me. And it's at the end of time. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, he's the center of our life, shall appear. Now he's going to appear. This is an appointment that we're going to all have to keep. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You can be in a glorified state just as he will be when he comes. So we can see that God's purpose of our lives, we've seen his purpose as far as the plan, the aim, design. We see in it God's purpose, the blessings of that purpose that he has for you and me. So God's blessings are given to men by and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ was God's elect. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, Peter says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." He said, "I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." That's identified as Jesus Christ. And this chief cornerstone is, it's elect, it's precious, and that we who believe and will be obedient unto him cannot be confounded or confused. We're in Christ, just as God was in his Son upon the earth. We're in Christ in this life. How do we get into Christ? If you never hear, never obey the gospel of Christ, you can see in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27. "For ye all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." That's the process. If you need to be obedient to the gospel call tonight, we encourage you to do so. If you need to respond by being baptized, we invite you to do that. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Christ. Be buried in him in baptism. Or as a Christian that you do not live right, and you need to, you see that God's purpose, he genuinely is interested in your soul, and that you need to respond and repent of sins in your life, that you get your life right from his sight. We encourage you to do so. As Joe leads us in the song, "Hark the Gentle Voice of Jesus," and if you need to respond, we encourage you to do so. While together we stand and sing.